If you have your Bibles today, I'd like to direct your attention back to some verses that we made mention of the other night. I'm going to try to help you with those verses today. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. It's important to God that you're saved too. That's why we have church. Church isn't a place where God gets to spend time condemning you. Church is a place where he makes his attempt to save you. The reason why we know the name of Jesus is because he wants to save us. That's the whole reason for his name. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't come to waste time doing something that he already knows you're doing good enough on your own. That's condemning. We read verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I want to read that one more time because this is kind of a special verse. It's not just something to teach as doctrine, which we can, but this means something to every one of us in this room. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And you'll agree with me that it's scripture, right? I didn't make it up. It was in there long before any of us were even born upon the earth, and 10 generations of our lineage were on the earth. This was in the word of God. It was spoken. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And the reason why we have this verse to read and to hear today is because God wanted it to be known that it was going to be one Lord that would come to save you. Praise God. He wanted you to know that he was the only Lord that there could be. There's no other lords before him. And he's the only God that was going to come rescue you from your mess. Jesus, help us today with a few more minutes of glory and help me reach somebody's soul. And God, I pray one more soul be pulled out of the miry clay of sin in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated. I want to read just a couple more verses here before I comment. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I'm going to read through several verses here from 43 to 46, just popping around. Because there's one question that always has to be answered for all of us, whether we've been in church for a while or whether we're new to church, whether we've experimented with church. And that is this ancient book, these words called Holy Scripture, 66 epistles, and somebody did some counting, and some more than 31,000 verses. What does it mean to me? And how is it applicable to me? You know, how is the reality of God applicable to me? And I hope to somehow answer that a little bit today. I want to somehow get it in your brain that God is more real than your mess, if you have a mess that you're dealing with today. Amen. That your life and all of its problems, if there's so many of them, you could bump the moon out of orbit with them. That God is greater than and he's more real than your troubles. And that if he can stretch out the heavens like a curtain, if he can be the God of all things and that there's nothing that's above him, he's certainly capable of dealing with your life no matter how broken you might feel. And that he is more than able and more than willing to step into your little world, sit on your well, and let you know that you are a concern to him. If you get nothing out of this service today, please leave here saying, "God talked to me and told me I was special." Yes. And he told me that he's got me on his mind. I don't care if the rest of the planet's got me on their mind, knowing that God has me on his mind. I can go home and feel good about that. Yes. Praise God. Because God and God alone is the one who can make such a big difference in our life when nothing else can and nothing else has. So I'm going to read these verses, and they're applicable to you. Watch. Isaiah 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me." You may not believe people, but God's saying, please believe me. "And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no other Savior." There's no Savior. So that means I don't have to look anywhere else to find a Savior. God said, I'm the Savior. I'm the only one. Praise the Lord. I don't have to go down the street and find a fix to find a Savior. There is none down the street. Because God said, I'm the Savior. There's no other Savior. I've given you one option. That's all you've got. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44, beginning of verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord," to the next chapter over, "thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Hallelujah. Chapter 45. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." David said it like this: when I was being wrought in the curious lower parts of the earth, my mother's stomach, in other words, when I was being formed, God knew every part. God knew what was happening. See, the great thing about God is he's got it. Nothing's out of his control. You may not acknowledge him in all your ways. You may not be serving him. Sin may have you bound. It may be your taskmaster. And life is full of darkness and condemnation and shame. But none of that is greater than God. God is so smart that he knew that if sin entered the world and took his creation, mankind, away and made them and converted them into a creature of darkness, God was so smart that he put inside of you a Holman beacon that he knew he could press. By the preaching of his own word and the moving of his own spirit, he knew he could meddle with something that sin could not destroy. No matter how dark you became, how messed up your life had become, all he knew he needed to do was speak a word and reach and press that button, press that something that he put inside of you that could call upon the name of God and get God to rescue you out of your trouble. Sin did not create you. Satan did not create you. Your problems did not create you. God created man in his own image. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, one God created you. The only God. The one who said, I'm God and there's no other Savior but me. And if you call, I'll answer and I'll do great mighty things because I'm a great mighty God. Hallelujah. And that's what this world needs to understand, and that's what this nation needs to understand. When problems have compounded so much that when your life has become such a disappointment and nothing has gone your way and nothing's going right and you feel like jumping off a bridge and killing yourself, if you can just hear the word of God, if you can just, with that faith he put inside of you, the capability of grabbing a hold of God no matter how messed up your life is. The man in the tombs, when Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee and there met him a man out of the tombs filled with many spirits that had just influenced his life. And he was doing all sorts of crazy things to himself under the influence of darkness. Even those spirits could not stop the Lord from delivering him. In fact, they cried out because they knew their time was up, because when Jesus stepped on shore, he said, come out. And they said, please don't torment us. See, that's how strong he really is. He's not. Just the voice of God says, beat it. And he's like, oh, man, ruin my whole parade. But yet he'll lie to the human being he occupies and says, you can't be delivered. I'm greater. You can never be free. Hey, look, when you come into the presence of God, you can be free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It don't matter what the liar says. You need to be in the presence of a God of truth. so he can fill your head with truth and get all that lie stuff out of your head and replace it with, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When the Spirit of God can get inside of you, there's nothing else that's not of God that can remain in you. Jesus is Mr. Clean. Hallelujah. There's no sin, there's no stain of life that can keep Mr. Clean from cleaning you and making you so pure and so holy and so free as if nothing bad has ever happened in your life. So we read here, I'm going to read this verse again. Stick with me a few minutes. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. There is no God beside me. I girded thee though thou hast not known me. I thank God he dealt with me when I didn't know him. That's where we all start. We don't come to know him, then, you know. No, he reaches for us when we don't know him. When we're darkness, when we're full of sin, when we're doing all the wrong stuff. My friend invites me from high school, and I sit in a church service. Me in my quiet, reserved way, and the pastor said, let's all stand and pray and ask God to bless the service. And I stood up and just, I can do that. And the place exploded and erupted in worship. And I thought, oh, God, where am I? I'm not in Kansas anymore. And I tell you, there were times I wish I had Dorothy slippers. For the first time in my life, and I'm not casting down anything. I learned about God, but I wasn't living for God. I had a knowledge of God, but I wasn't serving God. And that was the deal. For the first time, I got into the presence of the saints of God with the Spirit of God in the atmosphere of holiness. And that made me feel what I really was. And that frightened me. And I came to learn later on that that was the same thing that Adam and Eve felt when God had called after they had disobeyed God. And God called and said, Adam, where are you? They heard the voice of God and were afraid. They'd been hearing that voice, but this time they were afraid of that voice because a nature of darkness is always afraid of a nature of light. And they had now become creatures of darkness and they went and hid themselves from the light that they once enjoyed. And that's what I was feeling. I wanted to hide myself because God, not to condemn me, but God wanted me to know where I was and where I wasn't, but where he wanted to take me. That's the difference between God and people. People don't love one another, and when they talk about your past, they do it to make you feel bad, to condemn you, to hate you, not to help you. But if God exposes yourself to yourself, it's so he can save you from yourself and from himself. That's the definition of a savior, because God's bound by his own word that he's going to destroy this earth. He's going to melt it with a fervent heat, and that there's only two destinations, everlasting life or eternal damnation. Eternal damnation is not where he wants us to go. It was not made for us. Thus, we have a Savior. I'm glad about that. A Savior that cared when we didn't care. That died for us when we weren't worthy to die for, but he died for us anyhow. That when we didn't love him, he first loved us so that we could learn his love and love him in return. Now, that's a Savior. That's a Savior that went way out of his way to become something that could save us and bring us to himself. He did not send a little bitty deity down to do the dirty work. It was God himself. It was God the Father that was manifest as the Son of God. Now I'm preaching to you proper one God doctrine. Hallelujah. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. This is what God is saying. I want people to know there's none beside me. We told you the other night he judged Egypt because he wanted Pharaoh and all of those idolaters with all those false gods to know I'm the Lord. And boy, did he ransack Egypt. Did he humble Egypt? Did he bring them all to their knees and let them know your little statues made by your own hands and chisels, they can't save you. I'm the Lord. He takes it personal. That there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Praise God. And one more Isaiah 46. Thank you for listening. Verse 9. I'm almost there. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. See, these are all verses in the Word of God. Now, what we're reading in the Old Testament didn't change in the New. This is important for everybody to understand that the God of the Old is the God of the New. That what he did with the children of Israel and the Mosaic Law, he's still the same God who's done what he's done with us through Jesus Christ at Calvary and the resurrection. We're not dealing with a different deity here. Hallelujah. So let's read Mark chapter 12. I'll try to get into the 5-minute sermon on top of all this. Hallelujah. I want to help somebody so bad. I like challenging negativity. I like challenging the struggles of life because I've been there. And I know we've had people, all of us, we've come to God, and people are so married to the struggles of life that it's hard for them to appreciate one ray of sunshine. Well, Brother Mike, you're saying some of that. When so many bad things have happened to you, you just keep, if you're not careful, you'll be in a mindset that it's always going to be bad. Yeah, it's good for a little while, but watch. A couple of hours from now, I guarantee something's going to go wrong. Kind of like that testimony Brother Rutledge told us about Sister April and Mother Rains. He said they both had the wrong last names. Mother Rains was, I'm living on the hallelujah side. Sister Abel always stood up. I just got blessed, but I know the rain's coming. Instead of every silver lining, there's a cloud in every silver lining. Mother Rains, thinking that she had wrote the church song, I'm living on the hallelujah side. Her last breath was, I want to teach you a song, Brother Rutledge, that I wrote. Yeah. I'm living on the hallelujah side. Then she died. Oh, hallelujah. That's the way to go. That's somebody who saw the silver lining. Praise God. Who saw the truth. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's none beside me. And this same God that teaches us, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But boy, to get some people to actually do that, it is a challenge. But you can do it. You can do it. All right, Mark chapter 12. Let me turn here now. And chapter 12, Mark 12. Hallelujah. And we're going to begin reading at verse 35. If you could just believe God. See, it's not about, when we come to church, this isn't about us rescuing ourselves. I don't care if you're addicted to everything from A to Z under the sun. You can't deliver yourself. There's only some things that the gospel of Jesus Christ is asking us to do, and then it does the rest. So it's a you and God thing. It's a me and God thing. I believe, I repent. And even when I repent and believe, it's a gift of God. He's allowing me to believe and turn from my wicked ways, which you could say on your own, I can't do it. I'm bound. Correct, you can't, you're right. But he'll never ask you to do something he won't give you the power to do. So the answer really is you can turn from your wicked ways because there's one mighty God who is the only Savior who says you can do it. And he can absolutely interact with your believing and your turning and repentance unto him, saying, God, I'm through with this world of sin. I want to serve God. I want to be free. Even when you're baptized in water in Jesus' name, what's happening is not the cleansing of your humanity by the water, it's the cleansing of your conscience by the blood of Christ. When we are baptized, we are buried with him in water. That's what the baptismal tank's all about. It's about us partaking of his burial and participating in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That was shed one time. And the act of that shed blood when we are obedient to the faith, cleanses our conscience from sin, and God washes our entire sinful past all away as if it never happened. That's pretty powerful. And God will fill you with his Spirit and give you the power to be free and stay free and to be converted and to be changed. This is what we preach here. We don't preach this accept stuff and you'll always have hang-ups and addictions. It'll always have, you can just kind of work your way as long as you come to church, pray, and read your Bible. We don't preach that stuff here. I'm not saying don't read your Bible or come to church. I'm saying the real gospel changes you. Because it comes from a God who says, I'm the only Savior you've got, and I've got the power to change you. Calvary happened to change us, not pat us on the head and accept the fact that we're a bunch of idiots. Praise God. He came to absolutely stop us from being what we have been, shaping in sin and iniquity, and said, I can alter that story. I can turn it from a sinful one to a righteous one, from an unholy one to a holy one, from a one destined for hell to one going to glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is not taking sinners to heaven. He's taking saints who were sinners. Hallelujah. Now, I might cross theologies with some people, but that's okay. I'm willing to do that. He's taken people that were sinners, who were dark, but now light in the Lord. Amen. Such were, 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, but now you're washed. I'm saying Jesus has the power to wash you, clean you, deliver you, and keep you that way for the rest of your life. That if you learn how to call on Jesus' name, he can deliver you absolutely like he did that man with all those devils. Oh, I know that to be true. I've watched it happen for me and all of you. I'm saying you can have a whole lot of stuff holding your life, but Jesus just speak and say, beat it. Get out. Amen. And they have to get out. All the addiction has to let go of you. All the sin has to let go of you. All the nasty lifestyle has to let go of you. And he can wash you and cleanse you. Hallelujah. Because he's the only God that can do it. You don't need this stupid nonsense universe theology. Philosophy, I should say, coming out. Everybody thanking the universe now. You know. Well, whatever the universe says. The universe ain't saying nothing. Praise God. God is, but the universe isn't. The universe is saying that we're doing exactly what the Lord said to do. He said, you shine, you be, you do. God placed us here. We do exactly what the Lord said to do. The universe ain't waking you up in the morning giving you instructions on which job to take. It ain't going to deliver you from bad things. It ain't going to cleanse your soul. It doesn't control your destiny. Hallelujah. Nothing new under the sun. Man, if I had a bunch of universe people in here, they'd be up in arms. I know it. But I'd still preach and say the same thing. I'd challenge every one of them in love. That they'll call upon the name of the one who made the universe by the power of his own word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. So I don't need to go to the heavens for answers. I need to go to the word of the Lord that made the heavens and say, could you make me? Hallelujah. Because I don't like how life has made me, but I heard about you. I heard you're the dude that saves people and heals people and sets captives free. That's why Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because he heard this guy opens blind eyes. And he stopped him. And Jesus is saying today, you got to learn how to stop me in my tracks and make me pay attention to you and your needs and what you're going through. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to hurry. Where am I? Mark 12. Let's see if I can get to this lesson today. Hallelujah. 35, I said, and Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple. I hope this is making sense. I'm not trying to yell at everybody. I'm just trying to just reach for your soul to say if in faith you can call on Jesus' name, he can deliver you. It's still happening. Praise God, it's still happening. So Jesus taught in the temple, saying, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. In another account of this, in Luke and also in Matthew, Jesus is, now he's just getting done answering questions from people who were not there to hear him gladly. They were there tempting him. They were there trying to trick him up in his words. Their heart was not right. But the common people heard him. The people that didn't have an image to protect, the people that didn't know a whole lot, the non-religious crowd, the ones who were actually hungry for God but weren't being fed because everybody else was feeding themselves. They heard him. Please make sure that you're poised to hear him. When you come to church, he's always, look, there may be things that we believe about God that may get challenged by God. But please do what the scripture says in Psalm 27. With my whole heart will I search for you and seek your face. With my whole heart, your face, O Lord, will I seek. Seek the Lord, Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. And in John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. I tell you today, when you go to church, come with a seeking heart and not a critical heart. Show up with an open mind and says, teach me, O Lord, and lead me, O Lord. And don't show up trying to trip up the preacher, or trip up the church, or try to prove your dumb point. Hallelujah. Amen. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus promised us we would be filled. And so if we're going to find answers, we're going to find them with the right heart, with an open heart. Because he's not interested in all you know. Like, are you enhancing him by what you know? Is he more God because you show up and say, well, this is how I see it? Does the throne of grace now become enlightened because, whoa, dude's in the house? No, he said, I'm the Lord. Who are you? He's the one that knows all things. He's the one that said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55. And my ways are higher than your ways. They're not your thoughts, they're not your ways. I'm beyond you. He's beyond us.
That's right.
That's why we pray to him and not the reverse. That's why we worship him and not the reverse. That's why all the angels of God worship him and not the reverse. Because he knows all things. The reason why we pray is because he knows all things. We don't know all things. We don't even know how to pray as we should pray. That's how limited we are. But we get to come to church and sing some happy songs, praise God, call upon the name of the Lord, and God does stuff. He interacts because he's a real God. He's a real God. If he wasn't real, none of us would be here today. Some of us would be dead if he wasn't real. Amen. But he's real, and we're here today. He's interacting with us. This is not a one-way street, people. Praise God. This is two ways. Amen. This is a conversation. Praise God. There's somebody else on the end of that line. We're saying hello, and he's saying, hi, I'm right here.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, bring him. Even when everybody else tried to shut him up. Can you imagine that? Don't let anybody shut you up.
Amen.
When you hear Jesus can help me, don't you shut up. You shout up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. You get louder until you stop him. And heaven has got your attention now. You've got heaven's attention. Bring him to me. And now they're all like, he wants to see you. Bunch of hypocrites. Trying to shut me up before, but now he says it's okay. It's okay now. I can be in church because now it's okay. That's the problem with some people that view our services. You know, it's okay for some of you to be here as long as you look like they think you should look. I'm not going to linger on that. I got to close. I don't care how you look. Come to Jesus. That's the only way you can come to him. How else are you going to come to him? But like you are. But just understand, he's not going to leave you like you are. Oh, hallelujah. He's not going to leave you like you are. He's going to change you. Praise God. And Bartimaeus left his little beggar cloak behind. I love the story. I love this event that happened to this man. He knew he was going to get his sight back. He wants to see me. There he is with no eyes. He said, well, I'm not begging anymore. Praise God. He just chucked it to the side because he knew something he had never done before he was about to do, and that's see. See, when you lose stuff, you appreciate it when you get it back. Can you imagine the look on that man's face when he saw people, color, trees, and ground, and Jesus? Hallelujah. What do you want me to do? That's what Jesus said. Why can't we do what Bartimaeus did? So many people are all clammed up when they come to church. New England, we're especially guilty of all this. Bunch of clams. That's why we heat the service up. Opens the clam. We've worked in the restaurant before. You chuck those clams in that pot with that sauce in there. You just give it about 3 minutes and those clams start saying, well, we're gone. You just get a nice hot church service and watch what happens to your clammed up soul. All of a sudden, you either run out of here or you stay. If you stay, you're going to open up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. New England's a pushover for God. I'm just stating the truth about people. We have to teach people it's okay to pray and it's okay to lift up your voice if you want to. Not, you don't have to, but it's okay. Either way, God will hear you. But please know you've got the liberty to say, God, help me. You may not be as loud as Bartimaeus, but then again, you might be if you get desperate enough. But I'm promising you, heaven will help you and answer you. Okay, so I'm bringing this to a close. The rest of this we'll teach on Thursday. But I want to read to you, I want to make a statement to you with just two more verses here to show you something beautiful God did for you. Jesus knew he was asking a question that these other ones that weren't there to gladly hear him, he knew he could ask something that would shut him up, while at the same time making a statement of truth about why he was there that they wouldn't get, but the others would. See, he asked them a question. What he was saying was, how do the scribes say that Christ would come from the lineage of David, that he would be called the son of David, when David called the one who he said would be the son of David, he called him the Lord of David? Psalm 110, verse 1. Just two or three more minutes, you'd be glad you were here today. I'm making an assumption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Heather, you're still awake, right? Good, good. She let me know she was tired today. I've been there. We've been tired. Psalm 110, the Lord, this is what Jesus is quoting. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So all I'm going to read, I'm going to read one more verse, Revelation 22 and verse 16. The Lord said unto my Lord. Jesus said in John 14, he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto God but by me. I'm going to read you one more verse in Revelation 22, verse 16. I believe it's 16. Yes. I, Jesus, same Jesus talking, the same one that asked the question in the days of his flesh when he was the man Christ Jesus in the world. Here in the book of Revelation, all of that has changed. There's no longer, I'm not here to confuse anybody, but his earthly ministry was done. Same Jesus is talking. And he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, there's only one God who could be the source of David and then show up as his offspring. And what Jesus was saying, recorded in Mark chapter 12, he said he was confusing them because he knew they wouldn't be able to comprehend what he was saying. He was saying if Christ is a son of David, Why did David call that same one Lord? And what he was saying was that the same one who would be the offspring was the same one who would be the Lord of David, who would be the root of him. In other words, what he was saying was, the Lord is the same as my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. Why is it written like that? Because the Lord knew the only way I could save you people is to become your Lord. He's not just the Lord. He's now my Lord. And the whole reason why he was manifest in the flesh and born in a manger was so that he could become your Lord. He is one Lord, but he wanted to become your one Lord. Because as long as we live in sin and we walk in a way that's not good, he's not our one God. But he did do something that while we were yet sinners, the Lord was manifest as my Lord. It was not a different deity. The same Jehovah God who's one was manifest in the flesh as the Son of God. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten, the only way they could see the invisible God, the only way they could get even remotely close to it was in the form of a man. Jesus. Not a second person. The manifestation of the invisible God. The Son of God is that my Lord. The Father said unto the Son, the root said unto the offspring, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. It was the Lord saying, I'm going to do something that's marvelous in everybody's eyes. But I'm going to do it because I love you so much that you're worth it to me. Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said to you? I'm saying that Jesus is saying, you're worth it to me. No matter how low you feel right now, I did what I did just for you. Glory. Let's all stand and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God.